song.
And now I'd like to introduce the prettiest mother, the most compassionate mother around. Mom? No, oh, I mean, sorry about that.
20 years of competition and I still can't win. Anyways. Well, happy Mother's Day to everybody. Thank you so much for those of you who've been praying for me. And if you haven't, I'm going to get you later. But anyways, no, thank you. I am feeling much better. I may cough occasionally, but I'll try not to stick my foot in my mouth too much today, which is kind of a common thing with me, as you all know. Anyways, I am so glad to get to talk to you this morning on Mother's Day. You know, it was funny because this morning we've been staying at my dad's house because our house is, well, kind of packed up and not much in there now. And we walked up. We were down in the lower part in the little casita at Dad's house and walked up, and there was Bethany and Hannah rushing, and you know, and we started all rushing, trying to get everybody dressed, ready, and looking somewhat respectable for church. And then all of a sudden, Hannah came by. She's like, "Oh, happy Mother's Day." I was like, "Oh yeah, thanks." You know, sometimes we get so busy in the rush of things that we forget the importance of honoring our moms. So I just want to stop right now, and we have mostly husbands and wives in here, but a few kids. I want you to turn to a woman next to you and say, "God bless you." God bless you. Yeah. Because, you know, God's blessing is so important over us. So moms, women, God bless you today and every day. We pray that blessing over each of you. This morning, I would like to talk to you about a woman that is, and you know what, Jeffrey, I'm getting just a little bit of a ring. I don't know if you guys can hear it out there, so if you can help me, thank you. That sounds better. I want to talk to you this morning about a woman who actually made it into the Hebrews Hall of Fame. And you may know that in the book of Hebrews, there's a list that goes on and talks about some of the heroes of our faith, like Abraham. And there's this woman, though, that even though her name is not mentioned specifically, it talks about her in Hebrews 11:23. And what we're told about this woman is that she was Moses' mother, and she and her husband actually hid Moses. And this woman's name was Jochebed. It's not a joke. It's Jochebed, okay? And I want to tell you about Jochebed. I love telling Bible stories. And if you know that about me, you know I just, especially the book of Esther, I could go on and on and on. And I can't wait for you guys for you ladies who weren't able to do this last Esther Bible study to do it the next time around. It was, am I right? It was incredible. It was so much fun. But I love telling Bible stories, and this is a great story because it has all the makings of a miniseries. You know, it has the drama, the excitement, the tears, the sorrow, the joy, everything. So here's what's happening. The Hebrews are in Egypt at this time, and they've been there. And you know what? In the time of Joseph, they were given the land of Goshen. They were prospering. They were doing well, and they multiplied. They spread beyond the borders and really became such a powerful part of the Egyptian society. And about 400 years had passed, and then there comes a new pharaoh who's a little insecure and not really sure about these Hebrew people who seem to be kind of taking over. So he starts putting some restrictions on them and forces them to become laborers, which eventually leads to them becoming slaves. At the same time, God is still prospering the Hebrew people. They're still growing in population and in strength, in numbers, and in wealth. So Pharaoh decides, that's it. No more Hebrews. We're done with this. And he issues a command to the Hebrew midwives saying, you must kill any newborn son. Well, now the Hebrew midwives, they fear God more than they fear Pharaoh. And so they don't obey. And Pharaoh eventually realizes, uh-oh, you know, this isn't working. So he issues a command that says to any Egyptian, if you see a Hebrew child age 3 or under, you take that child to the Nile, and you put them in the river, and you watch them drown. Basically, it was open season on any Hebrew child. And it was at this time that Jochebed found out that she was going to bear her third child. Now, she already had Aaron and Miriam, but this third child was going to be coming along in this very season of utter death for the Hebrew people. What hope did they have for their future if there were no children? So, this is where we open our story. I was thinking about it this week, and, you know, we have a very privileged life here in America. We have so many opportunities. You know, I don't know if you've followed at all what's happening in Africa with the child soldiers that are happening over that's happening over there. And we watched a documentary a short while ago about basically children will be out playing in the streets, and they'll just round them up on trucks, and your child's gone. There's nothing you can do. They grab them, they turn them into soldiers. It is so horrific over there right now. In our own country, we're fighting battles as well, even though they're maybe not as obvious, but with what our children are seeing in the media, things that they're exposed to that warp their minds, it's a combat. It is a battle. And it may not seem as life-threatening in some of those moments, but I'll tell you, it can be. Because what was happening to the Hebrew babies back then, they were being killed physically. Our children are being killed spiritually. That's our battle. So let's look at this. In such a dangerous world that Jochebed found herself, she stands out because of what she did to save that child that was in her womb. And the first thing I want to tell you is that Jochebed had a courageous faith. It was her faith that made her courageous. The writer of Hebrews tells us that by faith, Moses' parents hid him for almost 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, the king had said that all these babies should be thrown into the Nile. Instead, Jochebed and her husband hid this baby for 3 months. Now, I don't know about you moms, but Bethany was our firstborn. She still is our firstborn. She's always been our... That's Bethany, by the way. And when Bethany was a baby, she had colic. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I saw my mom's like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Bethany would get so gassy and, you know, pain. And she'd toot and all that kind of stuff. Well, there goes my foot. Anyways, so anyways, I mean, she was noisy. And we lived on the church property at the time up in Eureka. And I'd take her over to the church and just hand her to anybody who would take her. Please, I just need a break. There was no way you could keep that child quiet. To this day, there's no way you can keep this child quiet. But, you know, that's a different story now. But I can't even begin to imagine how they hid this baby and kept it from other people. I mean, because you got to think, there were probably some spies living around them who were more than willing to make a buck off reporting that, you know, Jochebed and her husband, they've got a kid hidden in there. But yet they were able to keep this child safe and hidden for over 3 months. They succeeded. You know, some of us sometimes think, there's a saying, it says, let go and let God. And I like that saying. I think there's times where we need to realize that we're holding on too much to what God or what's happening in our lives, and we need to let God have control. But I want to say to you at the same time, faith is not passive. It's not just standing back and letting it happen. Faith, this may sound silly, but I think faith's a verb. I think it's an action that we do because we have to have active faith when situations seem so overwhelming and we don't know what to do with them. We need to have the courage to stand for what's right. Jochebed knew what was happening was not right. She knew this child was special. She had to protect this child whatever it took. And she did. And I just want to pause and say, in our own lives, as moms, as parents, as human beings, we are going to be challenged to stand for what is right. And that is where the faith becomes active. We have to build our faith and be courageous so that when that battle comes, we don't get pushed over. We stand for what's right. Be courageous. Be strong. The second thing that Jochebed had was a sensible faith. Now, you know, I am not a very sensible person, I have to admit. Sometimes I am very insensible and impractical and downright silly. So for me, someone who is a sensible mom, she is a hero for me. You know, I want to be a more sensible person, make good choices, do the right thing. And Jochebed had this sensible faith. You know, she realized after 3 months of hiding this baby, baby's getting bigger, you know, something's going to happen. So what she decided to do was to actually make a basket for her baby to the baby into the Nile and hope that something good would happen from that. Now, the interesting thing about this basket was that in the Bible, it is the same word that is used for Noah's ark. Ark and basket are the same thing. It is the word of carrying. It's like a carrying boat. So ark and basket are used in the same way. And what they believe was done was they took tar and pitch and lined the basket with it so that it would float, because you don't want baby going down. You want float. And so anyways, the mom, Jochebed, yeah, you guys are like, oh, my gosh, there she goes. Anyways, no, yeah, floating babies. Oh, you get me a new mic? Okay. It's the mic. It's not me. Thank you. All right. I got a little bit more. Here we go. All right. So anyways, both Moses and Noah went into an ark or basket because occupants of the ark are at the mercy of the elements. So they needed to be protected in that environment that they were in. So here's what's happening now. Jochebed puts poor little baby Moses in this basket, this little ark of sorts. And what's sensible about, you know, and that kind of doesn't sound as sensible. What's sensible about what she does is she puts the basket in amongst the reeds of the Nile. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of the Nile, but it has a pretty strong flow out in the current. And I remember as a kid hearing this story of Moses and the basket, and I just totally, we grew up, you know, up in the North Coast where we had the Trinity River, the Klamath River, and they run pretty strong. And so I kind of pictured Moses and his basket going, woo, you know, over this, like kind of like an inner tube ride down the rapids type thing. Nothing that dramatic. Basically, what Jochebed did is she took this basket, placed it in amongst the reeds of the Nile, which is where the women would then go out to bathe and wash and their clothes, that kind of thing. So she knew exactly what she was doing. She wasn't just throwing her baby out in the middle of a river to see what would happen. She sensibly placed her child in a protective basket in a place where someone would find this baby. Now, that someone who found the baby just happened to be a member of Pharaoh's own family, the same Pharaoh who had decreed that all Hebrew babies should be murdered. So, this is God's hand working, even in this situation. You know, sometimes when we get so overwhelmed or things are crazy and we don't know what to do, we have to improvise. Have you guys ever had those situations where you just, I was reading this story this week. I kind of was looking at, you know, parent stories. There were a lot on the internet going around, and there was a cute one about a mother of the bride who was getting ready to walk down the aisle for her daughter's wedding, and it was her responsibility to light one of the candles at the front of the sanctuary. And she went down, and all of a sudden she realized as she's holding the candle, it actually caught her acrylic nail on fire. And so she was nonplussed. She just kept with it, walked up the aisle, and actually took her finger, lit the candle, turned and faced the audience. just like a six shooter. You know, sometimes we do things that just whatever it takes to get by. That's funny, you know, but sometimes the things that we have to do, the choices we have to make as moms, as parents, as people, they don't seem sensible, but we have to make choices, and we can either make the easy choice or we can do hard things. And sometimes when we do hard things, and that goes back to standing for what's right, sometimes it's not the popular thing. One of my favorite things that happened recently was one of Bethany's friends told Bethany, "I love your mom." And I was like, "Oh, she does? Pretty cool." But the thing of it is I told Bethany, "I'm not here to be your friend," which maybe sounds rough, but I have never wanted to be my kid's friend. I'm their mom, and that is a huge responsibility. I love it that my kids like to hang out at our house. I love it that my kids want to do things with me and they want to spend time with me. That's pretty cool. But there's a difference between a friend and a mom. I can't wait for the day, because I've gotten to the point now with my own mom where I consider her a friend. But she had to be my mom first. Moms, I just encourage you, when it comes time to say no to something that you know in your heart of hearts you have to say no to, don't be afraid. Do the hard thing and stand for what's right. Make that sensible choice, because in the end, your child will be so much better for those hard choices that you've had to make. Lastly, I want to tell you that Jochebed, she was courageous, she was sensible, and she was rewarded for what she did. In the midst of things that are going on, the craziness, and, you know, these last few weeks, and me not feeling great, it kind of seems like there's just been this whirlwind happening around us. But the reality is even when things get crazy, even things seem totally upside down, I told Karen this morning, you know what? God is still on the throne. As long as God stays on the throne, we're okay. We can make it. And that is so true. You have to just remember, God is on the throne. Things around you may seem totally in upheaval. They may seem like they just can't go right at all. But you know what? We have a Father God in heaven who loves us so much. And he has what's best in mind for us. He had what was best in mind for baby Moses. What happened was, Moses, as he floated along the banks of the Nile in amongst the reeds, it was about the time when the women of Pharaoh's household would come out and bathe themselves. Now, Jochebed couldn't stick around, because if she had, it would be obvious that this was a Hebrew baby, and there were dire consequences for that. But yet, she left her daughter there to watch what was happening so that she could report back to her. Well, Pharaoh's daughter found this baby and picked it up and just was, you know, it's a baby. It was a baby, but she was amazed and she was excited about it. And she kind of looked around and said, well, you know, someone needs to care for this baby. Now, you want to talk about a clever little girl. Miriam steps out of the grass and says, I know someone who can take care of that baby for you. You know, it was very common in those days that children would be sent to be cared for by a nursemaid until they were old enough to be brought back into Pharaoh's household. So here is this little tiny baby who just happens to be a Hebrew baby, who just happens to land in the arms of the Pharaoh's daughter, and who is then sent to be cared for by his own mother until he can be weaned, which... Sorry, but it probably was, you know, 4 or 5 years old. Don't think too much about that. Anyways, and so this baby's brought into his own mother's household to be raised and cared for, where most likely he was taught about his own history, his own heritage, about Abraham, about Isaac, about Jacob. Then, when he was weaned, he was taken back into Pharaoh's household, given the best of everything, the best of training, the best of food. He was taught how to read, how to write, how to read the hieroglyphics, how to become a warrior, how to fight in war. He was taught all these things that would later be what made him the great leader he was to lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt. So, even though it doesn't necessarily say God did this, it is very obvious when you look at it from a godly perspective to see what God was doing in the midst of that. In our own lives, I want to just encourage you to take a step back and see what God's hand is doing. Even though you may not have heard his voice, he may not have said something to you directly or in his word, you know what? That's okay, because God is still there. He promised us that he would never leave us, that he would never forsake us. That means he will never give up on you. Never. When God says never, you know what it means? Never. Thank you. Exactly. So hold on to that promise. Another book that I mentioned, you know, the book of Esther, it's another great book where you can see that God is moving in almost unexplainable ways, but it never specifically mentions his name. And I just want to remind you again, even though you don't necessarily see God, he's there with you, and he will be with you every step of the way. Someone once turned to a full-time mom and said, "What is it that you do?" The mom said, "I'm socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation." And she replied, "And what do you do?" We have huge jobs as parents. We have the most precious gifts in the world. I just want to leave you with just this thought. Have faith. Have faith. Because it's the faith that you build in yourself, that you let God work in you, that will guide and direct your children. As you pray over your kids, as you read God's word over them, as you encourage them to become all that God has created them to be, let God do what he's going to do, but do your part too. Have faith. You know, I love the song that we sang this morning, the new Hallelujah. You guys like that song? That's a pretty good song. You know, the thing of it is sometimes we get to the point where we think, I've screwed up so badly. I can't keep doing this. Happens to me about once a day, sometimes twice. But the thing of it is God's mercies are new every morning. And you just need to hang on to that and know that no matter where you've been and no matter what you've done, God loves you. He loves you so much. In fact, you want to know how much God loves you? He sent his one and only child, his son, to die on a cross to forgive you for your sins so that you could have the hope of eternal life with him. That's how much he loves you. If you're feeling this morning like, wow, I just don't know how I can go on. I've made mistakes. I've made choices that I haven't stood for what's right. I want to tell you, it's a new day. There's a new Hallelujah happening right now, and it's time to get with it. Don't let another moment pass. Say, "Yes, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for your new season. I'm ready for your new day." And it can happen now. Would you bow your heads, please? Oh, Jesus. God, I thank you that you are not finished with us yet. God, I thank you so much that no matter where we've been, you've brought us to a point in this moment, in this day, where we can say yes all over again. Lord, I thank you so much for every person here, Lord God. I thank you that each of our stories, Lord Jesus, all point to you, Lord Jesus, and what you have done in our lives and what you are going to do, Lord Jesus, that you've not forgotten any single one of us, but you know us each by name. Lord Jesus, I just ask right now, Lord God, that you would just help us to refocus on you, to reaffirm our love for you, Lord Jesus. And as we do that, God, you would remind us of how much you love us. Now, God, as we go about this day, as we sing this ending song, Lord Jesus, just, God, fill us with your joy. Overwhelm us with your glory, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you so much that we don't have to live down in the dumps. We don't have to be held down by any of the bad stuff that's going on around us. But yet, Lord God, we can rise above it all. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. I pray your blessing over every mother today, Lord Jesus, that she would know how loved she is by you, how honored she is by you, and how blessed she is by you, Lord Jesus. God, be with each and every one of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together and let's close with this song. Can you hear? There's a new song breaking out from the children of freedom. Every race and every nation, sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Yeah. Let us sing love to the nations, bringing hope of the grace that has freed us. Make him known and make him famous. Sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Church arise, let love reach to the other side. Alive, come alive, let the song Jesus, as we dismiss this morning, Lord, I just pray your blessing, Lord. Every mother here, every grandmother, for every woman here, Lord Jesus. We just thank you so much, Lord, for them, and we just ask you to bless them, Lord, in mighty ways today. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much, Lord, that you want to be a part of our lives, not just a Sunday thing, but you want to be part of our daily lives, Lord. We thank you for that, and we say yes to that, Lord. Become a part of our lives. We want to make you the sole reason we live. We love you, Jesus. In your precious name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.